his wife, came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? He said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and he said unto me, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before your presence right now, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the week that we had, Lord, for these young folks that came out, Lord, and the blessing that they are to us. Dear Lord, we pray, dear Lord, that you would hide your word in their heart, dear Lord, that they might not sin against you, dear Lord. We pray that we have a part in training them up in the way that they should go. Lord, that when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Lord, we pray that you'd bless them. Lord, we pray that you bless the reading of your word this morning. We pray that you'd take it and use it, Lord, that you might speak to our hearts. Lord, that we might be better service for thee. Lord, we pray for someone here this morning that does not know thee in the free pardon of sin. We pray today would be the day, Lord, that they would come and accept you as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray that you'd forgive me, that you'd cleanse me, that you'd clean me up. I pray, Lord, that you'd anoint me with their power from on high. Lord, that you'd fill me with your Spirit. I pray that everything said and done bring honor and glory to thy name this morning. We ask this in the most holy and the blessed name of Jesus. We pray, amen. And you may be seated. As we're looking at the story here about Naboth and King Ahab and his wife Jezebel there, we know here that we're going to read a little bit and study how King Ahab, he wanted Naboth's vineyard there. And he went to him and told him he wanted that vineyard. But the last part of that verse, number 6 there, Naboth said, I will not give thee my vineyard. And that's what I want to preach this morning is about, I will not give up my vineyard. And I think too often we do that. Too often we give up. Too often we give in. Too often we allow the old devil. You know, the Bible talks about that, that he's a thief. He's coming not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And oftentimes we allow him to do that in our life. And oftentimes we just hand over what it is that God has given us. Or oftentimes we just hand over what it is that God is wanting us to have. But I want to preach this morning about, I will not give up my vineyard. And we can apply that in many, many different ways this morning. We can apply that to the county that we live in. And most especially in the day and the hour that we are living in now, when they are going to the votes to vote to bring alcohol into the county of Trigg County there. I dare say that the folks of Trigg County need to stand up and say, I will not give up my vineyard. We need to take a stand and not sell out to the enemy. We could apply it to our country that we live in and how we live in the greatest country that there is in this world. But our country is headed the wrong way, and we need to take a stand. We need to stand that I will not give up my vineyard, this country that I live in, because the Bible said that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face, pray and seek my face, he said that then I would hear from heaven, and he said I will forgive their sin, and he said, and I will heal their land. So you see, we need to take a stand. We don't need to give up our vineyard. We need to be like Naboth there and not give up. We can apply it to the will of the Lord in our life. Too often we allow the old devil to trick us, and we allow the devil to lead us away out of the will of God. But we need to take a stand that I will not give up my vineyard. We could apply that to marriages today. And there's many a marriages that's gone downhill, and many a marriages that broke up because they wasn't willing to say, I will not give up my vineyard. And we can apply that to our churches today. Too often we give in over to the world, and the old devil's doing all that he can to bring the world into the church instead of the church being out in the world and witnessing to a lost and dying world and telling folks about Jesus Christ and that they need to be saved, that Jesus is coming back one of these days, and tell them about his love and his grace and his mercy, and tell them about his judgment, that if they don't accept him, one of these days. We need to be out in the world and sharing them the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But too often, so the church, being in the world is in the church. And we need to take a stand that I will not give up my vineyard. We can also apply it to the joy in our hearts and in our life. And too often we allow the devil to rob us of the joy that the Lord wants to give us. He wants us to be full of joy and rejoice, as we talked about one night during vacation Bible school, about rejoicing and how we need to rejoice in the Lord. But the old devil, the enemy, is going to do all that he can do to rob you of that joy. And too often we'll just give in to him instead of saying, I will not give up my vineyard. And let me tell you, the devil's been on me this morning. He's doing all that he could this morning to rob me of the joy that the Lord Jesus Christ has put in my heart, to rob me of that joy about what a day it'll be when my Jesus I shall see. He's doing all that he can to hinder the work of the Lord this morning. He's doing all that he can to hinder this service this morning. He knows there's somebody here this morning that's dying, lost, and on your way to hell. And he don't want you to get saved this morning. He don't want you to hear about Jesus Christ. There's somebody here this morning that's out of the will of God, and the devil wants you to be thinking about something else. He wants to hinder the work of the Holy Spirit this morning. He don't want you to get right with the Lord this morning. We need to say, I'll not give up my vineyard. But let's look what it said in verse number 1 there, in chapter 21. It said, and it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria there. Then look what it said in verse 2, and Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And we see something in those two verses there that many times that we give up our vineyard for, and that is for convenience. Did you see there that King Ahab, he come to Naboth, said, Naboth, I want your garden. I want your vineyard there, because it's close. It's hard by my palace here. He said, it was near unto my house. He said, Naboth, it would be so much convenient for me. I wouldn't have to go so far. I want your vineyard there, Naboth, because it is convenient to me. And there's been a many of folks that have given up their vineyard because of convenience. And many of us have gotten out of the will of God. And many of folks today live a defeated life because they have chosen to give up their vineyard because of convenience. You know, it's all about convenience in our world today. And in our churches today, we preach oftentimes about how everybody, if they're going to serve the Lord, then they want to do it on their convenience. Well, Lord, I want to serve you, but if it suits my fancy, Lord, this is what I want to do, Lord. Don't call me to do something else. Don't call me out of my comfort zone, Lord. I want it to be convenient. I want to do what I want to do. Even in worship today, we think church worship has to be convenient. It's supposed to suit everybody's fancy. And I was going to turn over to 1 Kings and chapter number 12, about verse 26, there through verse 28. It talked about two kings. It talked about Jeroboam and King Rahab, Rehoboam. It talked about there that King Jeroboam, he didn't want his people. King Jeroboam was the king of the northern kingdom there. He was the king of Israel. Rehoboam was the king of Judah there, the southern kingdom. And the Lord set up worship in Jerusalem, which was in the southern kingdom. But Jeroboam didn't want all of his people to go down there to Jerusalem to worship. He was afraid if they went down there that they would turn their back upon him. He said he didn't want them to turn their hearts to the Lord. He wanted to keep them there under his thumb. He wanted to be the dictator and ruler over them. So he didn't want them to go down to where God said they were supposed to worship. So you know what Jeroboam did? He made it convenient it for the folks in the northern Israel there, or in Israel, the northern kingdom. He made it convenient for them that they wouldn't have to go down to Jerusalem to worship. The Bible said there that he made two golden calves there. He put one in Bethel and he put one in Dan. And he told the people, he said, "Now it's too much for you all." He said, "It's too hard." He said, "There's no need in you going all the way down there. You don't have to make that trip all the way down there to Jerusalem to sacrifice and to worship there." He said, "Now I made these golden calves here." He said, "These are your gods. These are the ones that delivered you out of Egypt there." He said, "Now all you have to do is just go to Bethel or just go to Dan. You don't have to go down there to Jerusalem there in the house of God to worship." He said, "I've made it convenient for you. So you just come to one of these two places here that is in my kingdom that I have set up, that I have made convenient for you." And that's the way religion is today. That's the way worship is today. We think we have to make it convenient for everybody. We think we have to try to suit everybody's fancy. We don't want to make anybody mad. We want everybody to do anything and everything that they want to do, no matter what the Word of God says there. We just want to make it convenient for folks. Oh, I'm here to tell you that serving the Lord will not be convenient. Amen. It's going to require sacrifice. It's going to require you to sacrifice to Him. He said that we might present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him, which is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable to ask you to worship the Lord. It's not unreasonable to ask you to serve the Lord. We're trying to get teachers and officers for our upcoming year. It's not unreasonable to ask you to do something in the church to serve the Lord. Amen. But we just want to be convenient. Oh, no, preacher. Oh, no, nominating committee. Oh, no, that'd take too much of my time. I'd have to do too much. That would require me to do something. Give a little bit of time. I wouldn't just be able to come and sit on the pew. I'd have to sacrifice a little bit of something. And oftentimes there are people that make commitments to the church and hold offices, and they still don't sacrifice, and they still don't do what they're supposed to do. Why? Because they want it to be convenient for them. Oftentimes we give up our vineyard because of convenience. Let's go on. Look what it said in verse number 2. Again it said, "Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it." We show you something else here in that verse. Because of covetousness, oftentimes many people give up their vineyard. You see, Ahab coveted Naboth's vineyard there. He said, "Naboth, I know that's your vineyard, but I want that vineyard. It would help me out a whole lot, Naboth, if you would just let me have your vineyard there." And he coveted that. He wanted that. And there's been many a folk that have gave up their vineyard because of covetousness. There's been a many of marriages that has broke up because of covetousness. It tells us in Exodus in chapter number 20 and verse 17, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor." The Bible said, the Ten Commandments said, thou shalt not covet. We're not supposed to covet someone else's possession. We're not supposed to covet something that someone else had. But that's what we do today. Oftentimes we see what somebody else has and we covet that. Even churches, we covet what somebody else has. We see some of the church down here that's working and serving the Lord. We see something maybe working for them. The Lord may have led them to do that. And everybody wants to covet what that church is doing instead of following after the leadership of the Lord. Amen. Covet. Oftentimes there's been many folks that give up their vineyard because of covetousness. Luke chapter 12 verse 15, "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." But oftentimes that's what we think. We think, well, we're really blessed by how much we have or kind of what we're doing. The Bible says to beware of covetousness. And we know there's many of folks that's lost their vineyards because of covetousness. Let's go on. We see something else there in verse number 2 at Naboth. Ahab said to Naboth, "Give me thy vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs." You see what Ahab wanted to do to Naboth's vineyard? He wasn't going to keep it a vineyard. What did he say he wanted to do to it? He wanted to change it. He wanted a garden of herbs there. He is saying, "Naboth, now I don't want to have to go down here extra few steps. Or I don't want to have to go another mile or two when my cucumbers come in, when my green beans come in. I want me a garden that's right here by my house where it'll be convenient for me to go out and pick my vegetables and the herbs and maybe the flowers that's in that garden. Naboth, I want it to be convenient right here. So I'm going to change your vineyard and I'm going to change it into a garden of herbs." And there's been many folks today that have given up their vineyard because of change. You know what it says in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 21, "My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change." And there's a lot of folks that are like that today. We think we got to change and got to change and got to change and got to change. And you know, most of the time, if somebody, you know, we try to do this, we got this program, we got that program. If this program don't work, we're going to change. We're going to do this program. This program don't work, we're going to change it, and we're going to do this. I know what'll work. You want me to tell you what'll work? The Word of God. We don't have to do all of this change. If we just get back to the Word of God, amen. But too often we meddle with too many people that are given to change. They want to change here, change there. We think we have to change our worship service. We have to change for everybody else. We have to change when somebody lacks this or somebody lacks that, amen. We have to change. And that's what we do. That's what we have done in church. We have changed from the evangelism, from the spread of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We have changed from that, and we have changed to the entertainment business. What? Yes, sir. That's what churches have changed to. I talked to some folks just this week. Some folks won't get mad. But I talked to some folks this week talking about church and talking about youth. I thank the Lord for the youth that we have. But you know, a lot of people think that they've got to change because of youth. You know, we've got to do this and we've got to do that. You know what they're saying? They say, "We've got to entertain our youth. We need to entertain them to keep them in church." I was talking to this one person. They were talking about their youth program on Wednesday night. They were talking about the multitudes of young folks that they had on Wednesday night that would come to their youth program. They would come. Said they wouldn't come back on Sunday morning or Sunday night. Well, what's wrong? Because they had changed. They've gotten away from the gospel. Let me tell you, if they're not getting enough in their youth program to get them back on Sunday morning and Sunday night, they're not getting anything, amen. Amen. I know that's not popular. We want to pray, we want to feed them, and we want to do it. We want to get them to come, but we want to show them big numbers down there at the association. Well, when we turn in our report, we want them to see all of these big numbers. Well, I know they don't come back on Sunday morning, they don't come back on Sunday night, they don't come for Sunday school, but that don't matter. They're coming, and we can count them this one time. But are they getting anything of the Lord? Are they learning anything about serving the Lord? Are they learning anything about commitment? I dare say if they're not coming back on Sunday morning, they're not learning anything about committing themselves to the Lord. But we want to change. Change. We're given to change. Over in Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse 9, I want to read this to you. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 9 says this: "Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines." It said, "For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meat, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." What's it saying? It's saying that it's good to teach them about the grace of the Lord, not to just fill their belly, not to just entertain them and get them in here. It said it is good there, and it said, "Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines." And that's what we have done today in our worship services, in our churches today. We've been carried about by these strange doctrines and these We think that we have to change. We think we have to entertain. You know what my Bible tells me? It says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It cut into the sunder of the joint and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and intent of the heart. You know, I once was a young person. I once wasn't very old. I used to think 44 was old. But I'm thinking it's not so old now. But I used to be a young person in church. Grew up in church. And I've been in where they tried this and that for the young people. But I want to tell you that I spent probably 95% of my life in church as a young person and as a teenager. I spend it sitting under the preaching of the Word of God. I'm not saying there's maybe not anything wrong with doing some things and having some fellowship and having a little fun. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But I'm saying there is something wrong when we think we've got to entertain people to get them to the house of God. If the Word of God will not change them, I don't care how much we feed them, I don't care how much we entertain them, I don't care how much we sing to them, they'll not benefit anything from that. But I grant you, if they'll come, they hear the Word of God, and the Holy Ghost of God will take His Word and prick them in their heart. And if they would obey that wooing and that calling of God when He convicts them, when He said there's something in your life that you need to get right, there's some sin in your life, you need to come down and get it right, you need to confess that sin in your life. If we would come down and do that, we would receive something from the Lord. Amen. Now if we say, come on, I'll give you a hamburger or a hot dog and we're going to do this, we're going to have a good time. And again, there's nothing wrong with having fun and fellowship. But there's something wrong when we change and think the Word of God is not good enough. Let's go on. Look what it says in verse 2 there again in the latter part of that. Said that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near to my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Did you see what Ahab tried to do to Naboth? He said, Naboth, you've got this vineyard over here. He said, now I need that vineyard, and it would help me out a whole lot if I had that vineyard. And he was probably saying, Naboth, it's not very good anyway. He said, now, if you let me have that, I'll give you one that's better. I'll give you a better vineyard. What was he doing? He was cheapening the vineyard of Naboth. He said, Naboth, your vineyard's not very good anyway. And many of folks today have gave up their vineyard because they have listened to somebody else that's cheapened their vineyard. And it's not that good. It's not worth that much anyway. And we cheapen it. We can't worship the Lord like that anymore. That traditional way. We can't do that anymore. We've got to change. That type of service, that type of worship, it's just not very good anymore. Let me tell you about this better way that we've got. It's a better way. You get more out of it. You can stand and sing the same songs over and over again for an hour, and the preacher won't preach for about 5 or 10 minutes. And he'll just give you a pepped up message and tell you how good that you are. He won't tell you you're a sinner. He won't tell you that you need to come to the Lord and repent of your sins. It's better. You'll feel better if you'll come to this. That type is not that good. It's a better way. You know what we've done, even in the day and the hour that we live, we've cheapened the Word of God. We said the Word of God, that old King James Bible, it's not good enough anymore. Let me tell you, I've got something a little bit better. I've got something that you can understand a little bit better. It'll make it easier for you to understand. Hogwarts, my Bible tells me to go to the old path, amen. Glory to God. But we think today we've got to have something. And people are telling that this is better. We've cheapened the Word of God. You know what we've done again in the day that we live in? Not only have we cheapened the Word of God, we've cheapened sin. We say that sin is not that bad. Hey, if you do that, everybody else is doing it. So it's not that bad. Again, my Bible tells me that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Amen. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that tells me that sin hasn't changed a bit. That sin still holds a penalty for that. And that penalty is death, the Bible says. But we have weakened that and we have cheapened that. We have gotten away from calling sin, sin. And then we're going to stand in judgment. And that there's consequences for sin. I'm here to tell you that God didn't cheapen it when He sent His only begotten Son to die on that rugged cross for my sin, for your sin. When He shed His blood, it was a high price. The Bible said He paid our sin debt with His precious blood there. Amen. So who are we to cheapen sin? Who are we to say that sin is not that bad? Who are we to say that sin don't have that many consequences, that you can do anything and everything that you want to do it and you'll not have to pay for it? We have cheapened sin. And I was going to turn over to the book of Hebrews in chapter 10. I'm not going to do that. But I want you to keep in mind that we can't cheapen sin. It might be more convenient for us to do that. Might ease our conscience a little bit because everybody else is doing it. And because somebody tells you, that's not that bad, still doesn't change the fact of God and the Word of God that God still hates sin.
Amen.
God loves the sinner. God loves you. Again, He loved you so much that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. That's how much He loves you. But that's how much He hates sin. What about you? Are you like Ahab here? Are you trying to cheapening sin? There's something in your life. Let's go on. In verse 2 again there, Ahab said, I'll give you a better vineyard than it, or if it seemed good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And say, will you sell me your vineyard? There's been many of folks that have given up their vineyard for cash or for money. They've sold out. They serve money, live for money, for possessions. Like the rich young ruler that come to Jesus. Said, Jesus, said, teacher, said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said, what's the scripture say? What's the word say? He said, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. He said, that's right. Well, the young ruler said, all right. He said, I've done all of them things. I've already done all of that. And Jesus said, one thing thou lackest. He said, sell all that thou hast and take it and give it to the poor. But the Bible tells us there in Matthew chapter 19 and 22, said, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. What did that man do? He gave up his vineyard. Because the Lord Jesus told him, said, if you take all that you have, sell it, give it to the poor, said, you'll have treasures laid up in heaven. Come and follow me. What did he do? He traded the treasures of heaven for the possessions on earth. And there's many a folk, and there's some of you sitting here today that's doing the same thing. You're giving up your vineyard. You're giving up the treasures that God wants to give you in heaven because you're following after the almighty dollar because you're listening to Ahab there. So I'll give you some money. I'll give you this money. Nothing wrong with money. The Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. It's what you do with that money when you get it. It's the condition of your heart. But there's been many of folks that have given up their vineyard because of money. But look what it says in verse number 3. And Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my father unto thee." There's been many of folks that have compromised and lost their vineyard because of compromise. You see this vineyard here? Naboth didn't have the right to give this vineyard away. The Bible said, God said, when He divided the land there in Israel, that they were not to go from tribe to tribe and from family to family. It was supposed to stay where the inheritance was. Who He gave it to, that's who He wanted to have that land. But here come Ahab down to Naboth, said, "Naboth, I want your vineyard. Give me your vineyard or I'll even buy your vineyard." But Naboth said, "God forbid me that I would give the inheritance of my father." But there's been many of folks that have compromised on the Word of God, and they have given up their vineyard because of compromise. Because they have compromised on what thus saith the Lord. We live in that day of compromise. In our world, we think we can compromise on the Word of God. Just as we talked about a few minutes ago, how we think we can cheapen sin, how we think that it's not that bad, how we say that we can live with one another and not get married, and it's not that bad. We don't want to do that. We don't want to make that commitment, so we're not going to do that. We can get out and drink, and we can get out and do drugs, and we can get out and have premarital sex and all of this, and it's not that bad. And what we're doing, we're compromising on the Word of God, and we're giving up the vineyard that God wants to give us. And there's many folks out there that are wanting folks in Trigg County to compromise on the Word of God. You know what they're doing? They're telling them, "Boy, it'll be convenient. Boy, you'll get all of this cash. You'll get all of this money. We just want to change. It'll be better. It'll be better." They say compromise. They don't tell you what comes along with that compromise. You know what comes along with the alcohol? The immorality. The strip club. The nightclub. More divorce because of more covetousness. More of the immorality that goes along with it. The old enemy will want you to compromise on the Word of God. But let's look at something in verse 4 through 6. We see, "And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, 'I will not give thee the inheritance of my father.' And he laid him down upon his bed, and he turned away his face and would not, and would eat no bread. But Jezebel his wife came to him and said unto him, 'Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread?' And he said unto her, 'Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it.' And he answered, 'I will not give thee my vineyard.'" Did you see something there in those three verses? I seen something. I seen a big crybaby in those three verses. Did you not? When Naboth said, "I'm not going to give you my vineyard. I'm not giving up. It's not for me to give up. I'm not compromise on the Word of God." And what did Ahab do? He run off to his house. He said, went in there and got down at the table on his couch, and he turned his back to everybody else where could nobody see him. "I'm not going to eat." Why? Because Naboth wouldn't give me his vineyard. That sounds like a lot of church folks. A lot of crybabies in the church. They compromised on the Word of God. Try to get somebody else to compromise when somebody else won't compromise. "Well, you're not going to do what I'm going to do. I'm not going to do nothing then. I'm not going to get my tithe. I'll show you, preacher. I'll quit doing. I'll give up everything I'm doing anyway. I won't do anything. You're probably not doing anything anyway. Your heart's not right with the Lord anyway. Or you wouldn't give your vineyard up. You wouldn't be such a whiny bag. Anytime something goes wrong, don't go just your way. Try to drag everybody else in. Get everybody else. Get something stirred up. Something going on. Why? Because like Ahab, you didn't get your way. Didn't get your way. Look what happened in verse number 7. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, "Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." See what happened there? When the crybaby come crying around there, and I'm not going to eat anything because I didn't get my way. Old Jezebel said, "I'll give it to you. Aren't you the king there? Don't you rule Israel? I'll give it to you." King Ahab, there was a conflict there. Because Naboth said, "I'm not going to give up my vineyard. I'll not give it." And he didn't give it. They took it. There was a conflict there. But yet Naboth, he didn't compromise on the Word of God. And I grant you, I guarantee you, if you'll stand on the Word of God, there's going to be conflict to those crybabies and those that want to compromise on the Word of God. Not only was there a conflict there, it goes on to tell in verses 8 through 10 there what she had done, how she sent these letters out to the men there in the country and said, "Now you take this Naboth." Said, "You set him up on high." Said, "You proclaim a fast there and you set Naboth up on high." They want to make it look spiritual. You know, any time any conflicts arise, people want to make it look real spiritual when it ain't nothing but the work of the devil. But they want to make it look real spiritual. That's what they done. Old Jezebel said, "Now you proclaim a fast. You take Naboth and you set him up on high there where everybody can see him. Then you tell them that he has blasphemed God and he has blasphemed the king." Then said, "You take him out of the city and you stone him." And guess what? That's what they done. There was a conspiracy there. Because Ahab wanted something. He's a big crybaby. Cried around. Somebody says, "Well, I'll give you what you want. I'll do whatever it takes. No matter who it hurts. No matter who it kills or what it kills, I'm going to give you what it is that you want." And they lied on Naboth. Had him murdered. Not only Naboth, but he studied the Word of God, also his sons. Because you see, they were inheritance of that land also. So not only did they have to kill Naboth, they had to kill his sons also where they could get that vineyard. And oftentimes that's the way people do. Whatever they have to do, whatever it takes to get their way. Lie, cheat, steal, whatever it takes. That's what the world tells us to do. That's the way it's supposed to be done. Get ahead in the world. But that's contrary to the Word of God. What about you this morning? What about your vineyard? Will you say, "I'll not give up my vineyard"? Or maybe you're on the verge of done selling out. Okay, here you go, Ahab. You can have it. I'm tired of working in it anyway. I'm tired of the struggle. I'm tired of the hassle anyway. I'm tired of having to get up and go work that thing and dress it and all that anyway. Tired of taking care of it. So here it is. And give up the inheritance that's supposed to be yours. You know, the Bible talks about we have an inheritance that's in heaven, that's undefiled and fadeth not away. Amen. that it's reserved in heaven for you. But there's some of you sitting here this morning that you're willing to give up that inheritance of eternal life. You're willing to turn over that. It's yours. Let me share that. Let me stress that to you this morning. Eternal life is yours. Jesus Christ died that you might have eternal life. And it's yours. But if you reject Him, you know what you're doing? You're saying, I give up my vineyard. I give up my inheritance. I'm going to take what's left over. I'm going to take what is given me. You know what Naboth would have had done if he had gave up his vineyard? He'd had to take what King Ahab gave to him. Or the money that he had gave to him. He'd had to take that. Because he had made that choice. And you're going to make a choice this morning about the vineyard. You're going to make a choice about your inheritance. If you're here lost this morning, you'll make that choice. I'm not going to give up my vineyard. I'm going to come and I'm going to confess my sin. I'm going to accept Jesus as my Savior. I'm not going to give up my vineyard. Or you're going to say, okay, I'm going to sell out to the devil. I'm going to take what the devil has to offer me, whatever it is. I know He's offered me this just like He did Jesus there when He tempted Him in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. You're going to say, I'm going to take whatever it is the devil is going to give me. And let me tell you what it'll be. You'll get to spend an eternity in the same place that He does. You'll get to spend an eternity in the same inheritance that He has. The Bible said God prepared a place called hell for the devil and his angels. And if we reject Jesus Christ, if we say, I give up that vineyard, then that's what we receive. The wrath and the punishment of Almighty God. What about you this morning? You're sitting here and you say, I'm saved. But I'm thinking about giving up my vineyard. I'm thinking about giving up what it is that God has for me and what it is that God wants me to do. I'm just going to give that up. I don't want that blessing that He has for me. I'm ready to compromise. I'm ready for change. And you're going to allow the devil to rob you of some precious treasures that could have been laid up in heaven. Where are you tonight or this morning? Will you take a stand as Naboth? I'll not give up my vineyard. Or are you saying, world, here it is. Satan, here it is. It's not worth that much anyway. Maybe you're here and ready to give up on your marriage. Maybe you're here and ready to give up on your church. Maybe you're here and ready to give up on your joy. Maybe you're here and ready to give up on your county. Maybe you're here and ready to give up on your country. What about you this morning? Stand with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come, Lord, to You right now and pray, Lord.